Matthew's Gospel 28, finding God's direction in a simple way. I told them in the earlier service, why do we go to Matthew for every subject, or Luke 24, or Mark 16? Because that's the foundation. The 40 days Jesus spent to teach is the foundation of the apostolic doctrine. The things he taught in those number of days is that foundation. So Matthew's Gospel 28:18, then he came unto them and spake, saying, that's Jesus. All, I told you last week, what saying means he kept teaching them. Not that he came and said, all authority came to me, no. Bye-bye. It meant that this is the summary of what he taught. All authority is given to me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19, go therefore, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always till the end, unto the end of the world. Last week we looked at that word teaching, which is what the church is predicated upon. The church is where we teach. Is the word didasko. It means to instruct or to give direction. And that word is amongst a community of words that oftentimes are used together. One of them is the word didache. And I explain to you. Now, why do we have to use these original words? I'll keep saying it so that you know why. Because originally these words were not in English. They're found either in Hebrew, the Old Testament, or in Greek, the New Testament. And sometimes in our world today, some of those words, when they were translated back then, may not carry the import of what it means. So the teacher of scripture oftentimes will go back to language. Now, if you bought any of our recent books, whether it's These Are God's Series, Is Wrath, or Understands Thou World, our Readers, Volume 3, the introduction, we spent time to explain this, that every teacher of scripture is a translator. Jesus in his day was also translating from the Hebrew to the Aramaic or the Koine or regular Greek that they spoke. And that's just the culture in Paul's day and Peter's day. They were doing the same thing. So so in teaching, you got to translate. You got to interpret. That's why in Luke 24:25, it says that, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. It's only in this church that when I'm quoting that verse, I look into the audience. When I'm elsewhere on invitation, I turn away so they won't get offended. So, O fools, how about that? As slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things, 26, and to enter into his glory. Now look at 27 of Luke 24. Begin at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded. That word is diermenu in the Greek, D-I-E-R-H-E-M-E-N-E-U-O. D-I-E-R-H-E-M-E-N-E-U-O. It's used for translating words. Interpretation. Interpretation. Of course, it carries a whole lot of things. One, the language. Two, the context. Three, historical meaning. Within the story behind words. There are stories behind words. There are words that are used today that has a background. So Jesus goes into it. For example, when you use the word redeemer, redeemed. In the Greek, I remember someone was calling me yesterday and said that he was looking for an explanation that is not in our books. The pastor, I said, is there. He said, I've read everything, pastor. It's not there. I said, it's there. It's the pastor too. So I said, go and pick. I said it's in Can Salvation Be Lost? It's in Forgiveness of Sins. He said, I've read these books. I said, it's there. So we now went, I said, go and pick this gospel. So we picked this gospel. Not that follow-up one, no. This gospel. So I picked this gospel. Then I began to explain to him. He said, I said, pick 379. But the first thing I did was I didn't have the book. I explained it. Then I said, now I'm going to show you it's there. Pick the book. So he saw it. He said, it's there. I said, it's there. He said, it's exactly how you said, now. Is it not my name on the book? I said, no, calm down. The calm down. You just have to calm down. You know, you can never know God's word in a hurry. It has never happened. That's why when people hear to teach, they always say nonsense. They say nonsense. I remember one day like that, I just finished in a service. I heard something I never heard before. I didn't think through. It was 95. So then our meetings were in the evenings. So I went in the evening to preach. I just carried that rhema in my head. I'll finish them today. So I was teaching, "Now are we the sons of God." It was 1996. "Now are we the sons of God." What I heard in the morning, because we did our services in the evenings then, so I went somewhere else in the morning. And what I heard in the morning had no bearing, no relationship, no interrelationship with what I was going to teach in the evening, but I had to bring it in. That new thing, they must hear it too. So I found my way to share it. It was not part of the subject. When I was done discharging my rhema. So after the service, one of our members, who is now a pastor, but not here, came to me and said, "That thing you shared," she was thinking, I was not. So she said, "What about this verse?" I felt like the grounds would open up. I said, "I'm sorry. I did not think it through." Say, "Hey, I don't understand." "You cannot understand. I just heard it this morning." Anytime you listen to preach, you are going to say rubbish. So oftentimes it's good to calm down. Amen. Okay, so I was saying that, so we go into the Greek to get the meaning today. So you have the word didache. Didache means a kind of explanation. Now, there are different kinds of explanation. Let me explain something to you. There are no two interpretations to any text or scripture. There are no two interpretations. It's either you got it right or you were wrong. So, when Jesus taught in Matthew 7, 28 and 29, they were astonished at his didache. The way he taught. For he taught not like the scribes, but as one who had authority. Now, what does that mean? Now, the scribes of their day were the Bible teachers, the scholars. They said he didn't teach like the scribes. He taught like one who had the exousia. What does that mean? It means he taught like someone who wrote it. Why? Because the scriptures, John 5, 39, were testifying of him. So that's didache. Now, in Matthew 16, verse 11 and 12, he warns his own disciples about the didache of the Pharisees, their mode of explanation. So oftentimes what differs is how people chose to explain scripture. I was showing you in the first service, okay, you were in there, about a text used for prosperity. I said, it's nothing like that. Now, when you talk like people think you're against prosperity, how does that make sense? So if I tell you now, right, that if you are going to go to Ibadan, right, that you don't go through VI. Okay, you can get to VI. Let me see. If I tell you want to go to Ghana, you don't go through Borno State. Now, if you go to Borno, you will meet ISIS. Or ISWAP. You say, no! He doesn't want me to get to Ghana. No. I don't want you to be disillusioned. So if I say, this is not a text of prosperity, I'm not saying don't prosper. I'm only saying, so that you will not be gented. No gented. Gented is a Greek word for being disappointed. Because if you keep sowing seed, it has gone. No. That's the truth. I will encourage you to keep sowing it, but the kind of seed that we sow, when it comes back to us, it doesn't come back in money. It comes back in people being blessed. That's all. No. Who will do business and lose? That means you were doing business. You were not being generous. See your life. So you are Yahoo. Any Christian who thinks when he gives, you become rich is Yahoo. That's what you are doing. Yahoo. Yahoo, Yahoo. Double portion. So they had their own kind of teaching. Jesus had his own kind of teaching. Acts 2:42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, which is the word didache. A kind of explanation. So you can have a false explanation. You can have Christ explanation. Now the other word you find also is the word didaskalos. D-I-D-A-S-K. Didaskalos. S-K-A-L-O-S. It means one who teaches, one who instructs. You can also have false teachers. You can have teachers of the law. No more didaskalos. 1 Timothy 1 verse 7. Teacher, designed to be teachers of the law. You can also have, then you have doctrine. A body of beliefs. The doctrine of Christ as the Savior is a body of beliefs. The doctrine of the Pharisees is a body of beliefs. So, which means, the church has a singular doctrine. Ephesians 4:11 says, he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith. Now, the unity of the faith is something that I said earlier in chapter 4 there, verse 4 and 5. There's one faith, one Lord, one Spirit, one baptism, one God who is Father over all and in all and through all. So, unity of the faith means a centrality of Christian teaching. Doesn't mean that we all gather in nationality, hold our hands, we are one family. No. Unity of the faith means similar teaching. It then says the knowledge of the Son of God, Ephesians 4:13. Epignosis. To the perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness in Christ. That we no longer are babies or babes, nepios in the Greek, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine and slight cunning craftiness whereby of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. So, it's either what you have is a doctrine of Christ or another doctrine. So, when Jesus instructs this 12 or 11 or more than that 120, and he says, teaching them, it means teach them what I taught you. Nobody has a right. So say, that is his own revelation. That is calamity. That is ridiculous. To say, you have your own revelation, I have my own revelation about the same person. No. It's called unity of the faith. So he gave everyone the same message. He didn't say, well, the way I see your own, Peter, you are into fish. The way I see you, your ministry will be among islands. So you go and preach the water of salvation. Matthew, you like tax, prosperity. Thomas, where do I place you? Go and be acting drama. No. He gave everyone the kind of interpretation that they all must follow. All authority of scripture, Matthew 28:18, is given to me. In other words, we must all read the Old Testament, Genesis to Malachi, in the light of Jesus Christ. That's why he said, all authority of the scripture is given to me. We must read it in the light of Jesus. He expounded unto them, Luke 24:27, the things concerning himself. Luke 24:44, these are the words which I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, in the Psalms, concerning who? Me. Verse 45. Then he opened their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. Thus is written, verse 46, to be of Christ who suffer, and then raised from the dead the third day. And then remission of sins and repentance, 47, we preach in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witness of these things, verse 48, 49. Then he says, behold, I send forth my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. He gives them a singular interpretation of scripture. So what does Matthew 28 tell us? One, Jesus is the interpretation of all the scriptures, which is the Old Testament. Don't forget, every time Jesus was teaching, or Paul, or Peter, they were not teaching from Matthew. They were not teaching from Mark, Luke, and John. They were not teaching from Ephesians. They were teaching from Genesis to Malachi. So all authority in there is given to me. Then in verse 20, it says, "Lo, I am with you." By saying, "I am with you," the Greek is the exact meaning or translation of what Jehovah God, Yahweh, God said to Moses in Exodus 3:14. "I am that I am." Or Exodus 6:2. "I am Jehovah. I am Yahweh. Unto your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I was God Almighty. But I was known by the name Yahweh." And he uses the word in the Hebrew, avah. The word avah in the Hebrew means past, present, and future. I was, I be, I to be. Bad grammar, right? You better believe it. I was, I be, I to be. That means what I promised is what I'm doing. What I'm doing is what I'll do. So the fundamental thing here is Jesus is that God. Jesus is the same person. Or, that same person is found in Jesus. So within the last few days of the commentaries that he spent, and John was the one that gave us most or almost majority of what Jesus said towards his death. Between John 13 and John 17, Jesus drops an important hint for us to understand what he said in Matthew 28, 20. Are you in church? Are you in church? John 14. John 14, 16. "And I'll pray the Father." Please observe this one. Let's read it together. "And I'll pray the Father." Let's go. "And he will give you that who?" Stop there now. Now, I don't want you to write anything that you should not write. So pay attention. "I will pray the Father that he will give you" what? The word "another" is the word "alos." It means same. Now, where is Jesus teaching from? The book of John? Where? Genesis 2. Very good. So, it will give you the same comforter. Now, what's comforter? Comforter means, I like to see why I said, "Comforter, as who you are to me, comforter. In the things so perfectly, peace that passes all understanding. Comforter, that's who you are to me." Okay, what is Jesus' comforter? Now, the word comforter is the word parakletos. It means one, the word para is beside you. Okay? So, a helper, an advocate, a strengthener beside yourself. A strengthener, an advocate beside yourself. People assume that what he was saying was, "I'll give you somebody else different from me." No. Beside yourself. I'll give you a helper, a source, power, energy, fruit, fruitfulness beside yourself. Pay attention. That he may abide with you. Now, that he may abide. Why does he use the word abide? Because the very opening statement of the book of John, John 1:14, it says the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And that is the word for tabernacle in the book of Exodus. Then in John 2, Jesus said, destroy this temple after 3 days, I will raise it again. The next chapter is about a temple. Are you following what I'm saying? So, if he says the same comforter that he, who is the he? The he is the Father. May abide with you forever. The next statement says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he, who? The Father, dwells with you and shall be where? In you. Look at the next verse. I will not leave you comfortless. Some versions have it, I will not leave you as orphans. Who has that one? You are as orphans. So the word is, I won't leave you without a father. I will come to you. Can we take verse? Okay, verse 9, in a little while, the world sees me no more, but you see me because I leave, you shall leave also. Can we take verse 20 together? Come on, let's go. At that day, you shall know that I am in my Father, and you in me. Praise God. I am in my Father. Now, people always assume that Jesus is the Father. Jesus never called himself the Father. Now, he says, I am in the Father. He didn't say, I am the Father. He says, then, in that day you will know that I am, you are in me and I am in you. Look at that train of thought. If Jesus is the Father, then by the same trail, then you are Jesus. You get that? So if you are not Christ, you are not Jesus, then he is not the Father. But the Father dwells in him. Oh yeah. So he says here, in that day, that's what you are going to see. Look at verse 23. If a man loves me and keeps my word, then my Father will love him and will come to him and make our home. So what is the paraclete? The paraclete or the paracletos is God dwelling where? Is God dwelling where? In the believer. The comforter here is the indwelling of the Father. Can we find the comforter in Jesus? Oh yeah. In fact, in 1 John 2:1, John writes, these things I write to you that you sin not, the same John. If any man sin, he has a paraclete with the Father, even Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not only as according to King James, do that in italics, and also for the whole world. So God is in us now, in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that is God's word. So why are we believers? We are believers because we believe that God is in Christ. See, I believe God is in Christ. So we must therefore properly interpret the scriptures well. We mustn't handle the scriptures carelessly. Not at all. And many of us, not in this church, but many Christians, a good number of Christians that I know, handle the scriptures with all sorts of shades of carelessness. You have those who just pick a verse. I've seen preachers, they'll just pick a verse, in 1 hour, a verse. Now, faith is, your miracle is now. Now, Faith, believe. Is now. There's nothing you can ever know that way in your life. You're going to read it well. Already you know that when Jesus was teaching, he was teaching from Genesis to Malachi. So every time you read the book of John, you are reading the Old Testament. Every time you read the book of Ephesians, you are reading the Old Testament. So, which means that every teaching of Jesus, all the apostles, takes you back to where? To read it. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul says to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing. The word there is orthotomeo in the Greek, O-R-T-H-O-T-O-M-E-O. It's used by, well, different shades of people, but it's used by those who cut stones. Either for buildings or the mine. So the carefulness, for example, if you are given an architectural drawing, okay, and you are given a measurement of a stone that will fit into a building, and you are meant to go, you know, to the rocks to cut it. You know, you will go with the measurement. Am I right? I'm an architect, I hope. I'm not saying nonsense. Huh? Who are the architects here? Not in Christ, so real architects. Anybody like that, an architect here? You are one. So you go, you follow the measurement. So you give the, what's it? Dimension. Okay. You want to shame your pastor? Can you imagine? He changed my interpretation. Oh yeah, come and take the microphone. You call it dimension. So you give the drawing, you give the dimension, then the builders must conform to what you write, or else there will be a problem. So they must be very careful. You also have to be careful with the dimension of the land. I'm getting it right, dimension. I'm a good student. You call it well. So that carefulness, it was also used by orthopedics who set bones. Or surgeons. Imagine if a surgeon just goes there with all the surgical and just says, I'm tired. And it comes from the nose down to the that's a butcher. So you gotta be careful. So when it comes to the Old Testament, we must apply the carefulness of a surgeon or a miner. The measurement we have from Jesus, that is in the light of his sufferings, his incarnation, his burial and resurrection, is how we cut it. Carefully, carefully. We don't go to the Old Testament to just read stories and feel good. We are reading the story of Jesus. And we cut carefully. Let me see how you are following this. Come on. Thank you. So we have to be careful. And Paul says in 2 Timothy 3:15 that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture is referring to Genesis to Malachi. Instruction in righteousness there is the word padiae and diakosune. The word padiae, instruction there, 2 Timothy 3:16, sorry, is how you instruct a child instruct a child to grow up. The instruction of a father to a child. And how the child will grow in wisdom and knowledge. And I believe that when Paul was saying that, at the back of his mind was the book of Proverbs. My son, attend to my words. My son, do not be rebellious to correction. That is a father-son relationship. And the truth, pay attention to what I'm about to say. In the Old Testament, God acted as father to Israel. In Exodus 4:20, he says, Israel is my son. Say to Pharaoh, Israel is my son and my firstborn. Now, Solomon being a king of Israel, according to Deuteronomy 17, he was meant to teach them the law. So Solomon gives them instructions so they will walk in God's wisdom and knowledge. So the book of Proverbs is a parable of the law. A parable of the book of Genesis, a parable of Exodus, a parable of Leviticus, a parable of Numbers, a parable of Deuteronomy. An instruction. That's what Hebrews 12 and 5 says, do not forget that exhortation as unto a son from a father. And it's quoting from Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. So you must be careful. Very careful. Like I've showed you, the issue of blessed, cursed. Okay, not this service. Blessed, cursed, seed. So you don't read meanings, your own meaning into it. You must read the scriptures together. And the first thing you are going to see in the scriptures is that Jesus is that Lord and God of the Old Testament. Here, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6 and 4, the Lord your God is one, a card, together. The Lord your God is together. Just like Genesis 2:24, the Lord your God is together. So if he is, therefore, and from John 14, 16 through to 20, he tabernacles in us. So if he tabernacles in us, how does he do it? It is by his Spirit. Just like Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God, pay attention, the Spirit of God hovered over the earth, the darkness, the waters. In the Old Testament, waters is used for people. It's used for people. The whole earth is filled with the glory of the Lord as the waters covers the sea. Habakkuk 2:14. So the Spirit of God, what's the Spirit of God doing over? The Spirit of God is over the earth to shine light in the hearts of men. And how does he do it? He does it through the prophets. Abraham, Noah, all of them, Isaac, Jacob, Moses. The Spirit of God is over him. And when Jesus came, he became the fulfillment of it. And just the same way, he sends us into all the world to shine his light in darkness. Hallelujah. That's why Paul will say in 2 Corinthians 4:6, God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. To give the light of the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the knowledge of God, sorry, in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly Genesis 1:1-3. So the Spirit of God, alright, is that work of God in the earth, or carries out that work of God in the earth. God in his Spirit, in the earth, is spreading the fragrance of his knowledge by us. In all the earth. That's what Moses was writing about. Darkness. Isaiah 60 verse 1 says, arise and shine, for the light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It says, darkness shall cover the earth. Gross darkness, what? Its people. For upon whom the Lord will come upon, or arise upon, you shall arise. How do we arise? We arise by shining forth the gospel in the nations of the earth. That's what we do. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So you carefully read the words. Carefully, carefully, carefully read the words. You don't pick yourself and thank you Lord. Thank you Lord. Thank you. One verse, forgetting that the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Newest Testament, none of them was written in verses. So every time any writer quotes a text, the system of writing then is that when I quote a text from a book, you go and read the entire book. How many of you use references here? References. In your study, academic study. Okay. So if your lecturer says, read this up, read up. You just go there and say, Lord, guide me to where? So if he says, Moses said, and then you see the text. Now, number one, you will not even see the verse. That's the first thing, because it's not in verses. So if he says, Moses said, how do you discover the verse? You start from the beginning. You keep reading till you get to that point. Are you there? Then you keep reading afterwards. So every time they quote a text, they want you to go back there and read the whole book. So I say, oh, why can't they just quote the whole thing there? Eh? What kind of Bible do you think they are going to have? Each word will have understanders three. So that means that when there's a reference made, you have to go to the book and read everything. Who's following what I'm saying here? You read where he made the promise, what did he promise, how did he promise it, how did he say he was going to fulfill it. So Matthew 28, verse 20, lo! We said last week that the word lo, oraho, means to look at. You know, there's a way you can glance at something. You can glance at it. And very well. You can look very well. For example, yesterday, I was watching a game of one club like that in West London. I didn't mention names. So I just saw the scores. And I was not really interested. I was just particular about who scored against them. So I wasn't care who played, but I don't care. But when I saw the real King of London, now if you've seen me watch football, ever since I was a child, my mom beat me, but I overcame it. I will stand before the TV like this. That is, I don't sit watching a football game. I'll be like this, looking steadfastly. You know, like that. And my son Craig now does the same thing. So if you see both of us, you stand and we go like this. So I can't say, go and sit down. So my point is, so I was looking, watching the moves. The other one, I just looked at. I don't care. I just want to look at the score that they beat them. So which means when he says, oraho, remember how I watch football. I pay attention to details. So when it says, lo, I am with you, it means you must observe closely. You must learn it. You must know how. You must know. Now look up one more time. Where is he teaching this from? So where do you look? Do you look around you? Lord, I know you are with me. You know, when I was younger, I had a man of God say that he prayed that God should reveal himself to him. He prayed. So I said, today is the day you reveal yourself to me, O God. So I said I was going to pray that God reveals himself. The man said he prayed all night to the next day. I said, today is the day. So I said, I'm going to break myself up like Jacob and say, I will not go until you bless me. In our sitting room. So I began to pray and pray and pray and pray. Then suddenly, I heard the cock crow from 10 o'clock. What happened? I was in a deep sleep. So the cock was to tell me, Peter. Then later on, I said, no. I'm going to fast and hear God. I want to hear God. You know, sometimes we make simple things complicated. Some people make simple things complicated. Very complicated. So I said, I was going to fast. So we had this gatehouse. So I shut the door. I said, I'm not leaving this room till I hear you talk to me face to face. So I was praying. Like an idol worshiper. So as I was praying, I just felt a presence. I said, Lord, you are welcome. You are welcome. You are welcome. Speak, Lord, your servant ears. But somehow, I said, this presence is somehow. So I opened my eyes. I saw it was a window that slightly opened. You know. Sometimes, what some of us just have is an emotional feeling. God is talking to you, or fear is talking to you. Is it God that is talking to you, anxiety? See, I'm sensing something. I'm sensing God. It's fear that is bothering you. I'm sensing. Are you sure we should go? let's go now. We said we're going to go. Yoruba have a way to say, my body is somehow around for me. My body is for me. My body is moving. So you say, you get, I'm feeling. My back is doing somehow. I think God is. You did that in one way by low, I'm with you. Low. If you have to feel and look, then that means John 14 to verse 16 to 18 is not true. He said, he's with you and shall be where? So it's not a tweet. Right? I like what someone said one time. He said, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. He didn't send a tweet. That was a blessing. The word, the logos of God became a hand. So you say, God is talking to you. Because you have a feeling. He says, lo, where do you look at? Where do you have that assurance? Look at the scriptures. God's word has been fulfilled. I am with you. Luke 24:44. These are the words that I said to you while I was yet with you, that all things must be what? Fulfilled. What's fulfilled? Remember what I just told you. That Israel stood like God's son. What did God do? He said, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to redeem you. Was I talking about redemption in this dimension of redemption? That I said the word redemption? I didn't fully explain it. Can you imagine? I was talking about a friend who asked me the question. Okay. Now, that word redeem in the Hebrew is the word gal. G-A-A-L. Gal is the way you write your own records or information. They say next of kin. The essence of next of kin is, in case you are not available, somebody who comes to do what you would have done. Right? Remember when my father passed on, and I had the reason to go to his bank to pick up his documents. He was very meticulous. All his certificates, all the awards he ever had, he put it in the bank. You know, that is where thieves could not enter. Lay up your treasures. His treasures were in the physical bank. So I went there. So I just asked. They said, do you know the next of kin? I said, I don't know. So they checked it. And they said, the man put his name as next of kin. Then I said, how can someone do that? They said, well, he put Olusegun. I said, that's my name. Oh, they said, oh. Then you are his next of kin. So they just asked me to bring an ID. And I brought it. Then I was able to take everything that belonged to him. So when God came in covenant with Abraham, and then his children were in bondage, God acted like what? Next of kin. Are you there? Do you understand that? Like, what would Abraham want at this point? He wants them to be out of bondage, right? To be free from slavery. So God went there because of the covenant, the promise he made to Abraham. Who's following what I'm saying here? That's the word redeemed. So in the process of it, he set the slaves free. Now, in the Greek, because the Greek didn't have that word, it's not in their culture. The only word that could explain it is the word apolutrosis or lutrosis or lutron. Apolutrosis, lutros, lutron means to pay a price for a slave. Now, because truly, Israel were slaves, that was the closest word they could use. So they use apolutrosis or lutron or lutrosis. But the real issue was not just freeing the slave. It was the fact that a next of kin was freeing the family of a covenant partner. Let me see your hand if you understand that. So oftentimes we go back to the meaning of redemption. What God did in Israel, in Egypt for Israel, was because he was Abraham's what? Next of kin. Who's following this? Come on. Okay, so you see the importance of going back to the original words. So you get the meaning. Now, because of that translation, because the Greek didn't have that word, The closest is that word neutron, neutrosis. People over the years now believed that the blood of Jesus was given to God to free us. No. Because of the word neutron, neutrosis. No. It is God doing the freedom. And the reason why they use neutrosis, which is a price paid of value, is that it shows the value of what he had to do to get it done. Hallelujah. Do you understand that? So God didn't collect the blood of Jesus and he said, ah, great. And he drank it. Then he says, you can go. No. The blood of Jesus is used as neutron, price paid, or neutrosis, price paid to free, or apolutrosis, total freedom, to show the value of what God has done. It wasn't, there was no price paid to the devil or to sin. It was rather the price, or you call it the value of the action, is now called neutron or neutrosis or apolutrosis. Let me see your hand if you get that. Okay. If you have this gospel, it's in page 376. That's exactly what I told my friend yesterday. At 379. It is the value. But the actual action is that God acted according to promise. Is that very clear? According to what? Promise. Does it make sense? Does it make sense? So that means he gave a promise. I am, I be, I will be. So, he goes, then he, number one, he redeems them, then he leads them. He leads them. You know, the word leading is what God did. He took them through the wilderness and led them to Canaan. So, now to us, who have the fulfillment of God's promise in the Old Testament, God has that promise to keep leading us in the earth. Let me see your hand here. Come on. The earth will now look to us like a wilderness. A wilderness means where there is no growth, where there is no habitation. Or better still, where God does not dwell. So here we are. We're in the wilderness, which means we're in a world filled with darkness. A world filled with evil. But God has a covenant. He has a promise. And that promise, just like he went to Egypt without that prayer. He went there even 40 years. They were groaning, complaining. They kept saying, after 40 years, take us back to Egypt. But because he made the promise, he led them. God is leading you. Hallelujah. Not because you prayed. In fact, the reason why you are praying is because he's leading you. He led you to pray. Lo, I'm with you. So when you read the scriptures and you see that Moses built a tabernacle in the midst of Israel to show them that God was there. But it's not with us now. It's where? In us. So lo, I'm with you. I'm not with you when you fast. No. I'm not with you when you're in church. No. I'm with you because I said so. God is faithful to his promise. Hallelujah. Lift your hand and say, he's with me. He's in me. He walks through me. Unconditionally. God lives in me. I'm led by God. Unconditionally. I didn't hear you. Unconditionally. I am led by God. Unconditionally. I'm led by God. Sometimes I'm always led by God. You know, if they ask you, what is your name? Say, I'm led by God. Is that your name? Say, yeah, I'm led by God. I'm led by God. Glory to God. I'm led by God. And I'm confident. Come on. I'm confident. Because he said it. I'm confident. What if I'm not praying and I'm not doing the right things? And I make mistakes, fall into sin. He's never going to leave you. Glory to God. He can't abandon. No, he won't. He sticks to his word. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. I'm a believer. God is a performer. I'm a believer. God is a performer. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. I'm led within. I'm led from within. I'm led by God. Glory to God. If Israel, Israel that will complain, oh, give us onions. I don't know why they ask for onions. Were they eating suya? Give us onions. They, at some point, they said, oh, take us back. After how many years? Take us back. Don't try and pastor people like that, though. You know, when I see people write about pastoring on social media, with nice, nice words, have you pastored before? Do you know what it means to direct human beings? Human beings, oh, some people are human rights. Somebody now has 3 million, and they now come in one accord and say, hey, Moses, enough. And you know, rebels always have leaders. You just say, brother, you know you are bold. Talk to him. Look at where we're just here for how many years. They cursed it though. They said, take us back. At some point, they got an idol. And they said it was that idol that rescued them. How do you talk to people like that? But God never left them. He never did. Because God does not put away. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. And Jesus is that I am. Glory to God. Glory to God. Are you learning something? Because all the scriptures testify of him. So in us today is the leading of the Spirit. We have the leading of the Spirit. If you follow that John 14 very well, when he was done in John 14, no, I told you this last week, I think. Whenever you read John 14, read it till John 17:26. You know, when he said, we'll come and make our home with you. Then John 15:1, he says, I am the vine, the true vine. You are the branches. He said, you will bear fruit because you abide in me. Say, I bear fruit. Say, I bear fruit. I bear fruit. I'm not fruitless. My works abide. Say, I bear fruit. Glory to God. In John 16, he said that, he says, I will not leave you comfortless, I'll come to you. He said, if I don't go, sorry, the comforter will not come. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin, of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. The word reprove means to show evidence by preaching. He said, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. What's he telling them? He's saying that when it comes to ministry, I will carry it out through you. Hallelujah. I'm helped by God. I'm helped by God. So in the work of ministry, in evangelism, in follow-up, in discipleship, in prayer, in meeting the needs of people, in caring for the flock of Christ, I'm led by God. You know, you are led by God. He said, that comforter, that indwelling, will carry out that ministry through you. Carry out that ministry through you. I know what to say. I know how to say it. Glory to God. You don't say the wrong things. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. He carries it out through you. That paraclete, dwelling in you, beside yourself. Words beside your words. Actions beside your actions. Deeds beside your deeds. He carries them out. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So it says, lo, I'm with you. That's where we are. Oraho. It means look intently. Paul will apply the same words in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Actually, the Greek doesn't have "he is" there. He said a new creature. New creation. New creation. New creation in Genesis 1. New creation. All things have passed away. All things have become new. Replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. Behold, he says, all things have become new. Behold, all things have become new. All things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit that God was in Christ, verse 19, reconciling the world to himself and not imputing their trespasses unto them, and has given to us the word of reconciliation. Behold it. Where do I see it? In the scriptures. 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the sons of God. Technon in the Greek. And look at the scriptures. Which means, the written word and the truth about Christ is my direction in life. I'm led by God. I said, I'm led by God. I must therefore see the Christ life, the Christ example, as God leading me in life. Glory to God. Which means I must meditate on the Word of God, the Scriptures. See, listen carefully. The leading of God is primarily for us by meditating and doing the Word. Meditate on the Word. Think through it. The words of Christ are your words. His deeds are your deeds. His actions are your actions. It's that simple. As I feed on the Word, I look at the four Gospels. I see Christ. And then he says, I am with you. Which means that he never said goodbye. He never left us. So his deeds are still on earth. His power is still on earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm led by God. I'm led by God not to revenge. Glory to God. I'm led by God not to curse. I'm led by God to pray for those who offend me. Hallelujah. I'm led by God not to seek for fame, just like Jesus. I'm led by God to heal the sick, just like Jesus. I'm led by God to care for those who are in need, just like Jesus. Come on. Are you there? I'm led by God. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. I'm good at all times. I'm led by God. Glory to God. I'm led by God not to condemn others. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. Glory to God. Because what I see in the four Gospels is a reality in my life today. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Let's begin to close here. 1 Peter 2:21. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2. For thereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. That word example is the Greek word, hupogrammos. H-U-P-O-G-R-A-M-M-O-S. H-U-P-O-G-R-A-M-M-O-S. It means a written copy. An example for us to follow after. What does that mean? Christ's example is God's leading for me. The Spirit is Christ in me. And it will only inspire Christ's deeds through me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I said glory to God. So when I study the Word, I find direction. I find answers. I find the right responses. I find the right attitude. And that is God leading me, even in the wilderness of life, as light in the midst of darkness. Hallelujah. As life in the midst of death. As his glory in the midst of human fame, wealth and riches. I find wealth in God's leading. I'm led by God. I'm led by God. I am not confused. I'm never manipulated. I'm never intimidated. I walk in the light of life. I'm led by God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and bless him. Thank him that he leads you. He leads you. You'll find leading in Christ. You'll find leading in his word. Come on, lift your hands. Say, I find leading in his word.